Okay, so it's believing, and the important part of believing is renewing the mind, and we have to be faithful. So we choose every day whether we're going to believe God's word, whether we're going to be faithful to God. We choose to pray every day, to read his word, to speak God's word, to give, to live and glorify God in all that we do. It's pretty simple. It's a day-by-day decision. So in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll go there, verse 14, it says, "Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And you know, that doesn't mean that you're dead or asleep, literally, but it's speaking to those that are believers, and it's saying, wake up spiritually, and Christ will give thee light. Then it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And that circumspectly means that we are to walk precisely. Bullinger says that it means to go to the top or to the peak. It's like climbing a mountain. If you're going to climb a mountain, you are careful to prepare and then pick your course. And as you pick your course, you're careful about where you step and the equipment you use, where you might put a spike and tie in and all that other stuff. You're very precise and accurate and careful in what you do. And that's where this word circumspectly comes from. So if you look up the word, it's translated perfectly, carefully, and circumspectly. So we're to walk circumspectly, not as fools. Who wants to be a fool? Nobody. Nobody wants to be a fool. Nobody wants to think of themselves as a fool. But as wise, we want to be wise in our life. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. That means making the best use of your time because you only get one shot at every day. You know, it's not that a day is bad or evil in the sense of evil, but it's evil in the sense that one day goes and the next day is there and you can't stop time. You have to live that day and you never get any days back. So we're to walk circumspectly or carefully, precisely, accurately, as a wise person would walk, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, that's a pretty good summary of how we are to live our lives. We're to believe God and we're to walk circumspectly. I want you to go to Numbers chapter 12, and we're going to look at a couple of people and how they were faithful. So Numbers chapter 12 in the Old Testament. We're going to look at the life of Moses. A little bit, not the whole thing, because that would take us the rest of the day. Maybe the rest of the week. We really worked at it. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman." She obviously wasn't of the nation of Israel, was she? She was an Ethiopian woman. "And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth." That's a pretty amazing statement to say about some person. I suppose somewhere on the earth today there's somebody that's meek above all other men. I don't know. But at this point in time, Moses was meek more than anyone else, meaning he didn't have an ego. He didn't think he had all the answers. He didn't think he could figure out everything. He just was willing to listen to God. He was willing to do what God told him to do. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Okay, Aaron and Miriam are who? It's his older brother and his older sister. And I believe it was Miriam that put him in the basket, right, with his mother, and later on helped raise him. And she was in Pharaoh's daughter's house helping raise him. And she was a prophetess, meaning that she spoke for God at times. It says she was a prophetess. And Aaron was a prophet, right? But they weren't Moses. And Moses was the head guy. God put him in charge. So he said, come ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. So, you know, prophets God would speak to in a vision or in a dream. But Moses, it says, he spoke to face to face. So he was even just, you know, he was a prophet, but he was the head guy. He was, you know, God's man at that particular time. And he said, Moses is faithful in all mine house. He was faithful. He was a faithful guy. He was meek and he was faithful, which is a pretty amazing thing. So I want you now to go to Hebrews, because it says something more about Moses as a faithful man. And it's a pretty incredible thing that it says. Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 1. Because it compares Jesus Christ to Moses as far as faithfulness. You know, we always think of Jesus Christ as he's the Messiah, right? He was the anointed one. But he was measured in faithfulness and shown to be a very faithful man because he was compared to Moses, who at the time of his life was faithful more than anybody else in Israel. And it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. So Jesus Christ was faithful just as Moses was faithful. It's pretty great. He's the apostle, not a apostle, but he is the apostle and the high priest of the heavenly calling. For every house is builded by some man. Well, let's see, verse 3. For this man was counted worthy as of much more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. It's referring to, you know, Moses was a member of the house of Israel, you might say. Jesus Christ founded the church of grace. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant or a doulos, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, concerning Christ, of course, the coming of Christ he spoke of. He gave the law, and that was a foreshadowing or a prophecy of Christ. So now we're going to go back to Exodus to see some more things about Moses. Not a lot, but a few things. Because how faithful was he? Now, just think about, how old were you when you got born again or came to the Word and decided you would believe the Word? And how long has it been? Okay? For me, I got into the Word when I was 26, so it's 44 years, or soon to be. And, You know, that's a pretty long time. Now, can I say I was faithful all those years? I would hope God says I was, but probably not. There were times when I was more faithful than other times. But, you know, there are times when I've been very faithful, and the older I get, the more I'm concerned about being faithful. So let's look at Moses here, chapter 2. Did I tell you chapter 2? Darn. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 11. Verses 1 through 11 are about Moses' life, how he's born and how he gets raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Then, in verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown," which means what? He was an adult. He was grown, "that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren." You know, he was hidden in the basket in the river, and then Pharaoh's daughter raised him, but he knew he was a Hebrew. He knew where he came from. "And he looked this way and that way." Yeah, looked to his right, looked to his left, looked behind him. "And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand." Wow. And he looked around and checked it out and said, "Is there anybody watching? Okay, good." Bam. "And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together." You know, they were having an argument, fighting. "And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" So somebody did see. He thought nobody saw him. Somebody did see him. "And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well." And goes on and on and tells about how he marries his wife, who was the daughter, not the Ethiopian, but another woman, Zipporah, whose father was Jethro, and he was a priest of the Most High God. How he came to know who God was, we don't know, do we? So he married a woman. So how long was Moses in Midian with Zipporah? Well, 40 years. We're going to look and read, and you can deduct this by how the years run out, but he was in that wilderness for 40 years. In this time, he was a shepherd. He wasn't going to theological seminary. You know, he wasn't even a shepherd when he went and fled to Midian, was he? He had been raised in Pharaoh's palace. He had been trained in the way of the Egyptians. He probably never did any real menial work because of the way he grew up. But he fled and he ended up in Midian, and there he herds the flock for his father-in-law, and he lives with his wife, Zipporah, for 40 years. So what is he doing out there? Well, apparently he's learning how to be a shepherd, which means he had to be meek to learn. He had to listen to the people that knew how to do it. And he was faithful in his job, which if you read about shepherds, shepherds were very important in that day and time. And it requires a lot of faithfulness to take care of those sheep. It takes great care and concern. And you have to be on top of it all the time. You have to be watching. You have to think ahead. You have to prepare. You have to do for the sheep, because the sheep are pretty stupid. And they just go along and they just follow the leader. And the leader is the shepherd. So if they want to eat, they have to follow the shepherd. If they want to drink, they have to follow the shepherd. If they want to be safe, the shepherd has to make sure they're safe. So this is what Moses is doing for 40 years. So he must have displayed some character of faithfulness, steadfastness, meekness, as a shepherd. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 29. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 29. And we're going to start in verse 1. So then, of course, Moses goes up on the mountain. He sees the burning bush. God tells him to go back into Egypt, right? And you know, first Moses doesn't want to do it, and God has to instruct him and tell him. And then Moses learns very quickly to do exactly what God tells him, doesn't he? You know, he tells him to go in there and go before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's going to harden his heart, and he goes through the plagues, and he brings the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he brings them into the wilderness where they wander for 40 years. In verse 1 it says, "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants, unto all this land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoes is not waxen old upon thy feet." So he led them in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. Yeah. 40 long, hard years, and he had to be faithful to God in those years, and he had to obey God to get the people through it and to listen to him. And some of the decisions he had to make or some of the things he had to do in obedience to God were probably not easy, right? Because sometimes people died, you know, and they tried to rebel against him, and they wanted to kill him. And, you know, when he came down from the mountain, they had made the golden calf. What did he do? He reproved them pretty strongly and took the calf and ground it up and made it into dust and threw it in the water and made the people drink of it, right? All kinds of stuff. And there were many confrontations between Moses and Israel, and he had to stand for God in each one of those confrontations. So let's go to chapter 31. And he says, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan." And then in verse 3 it says, "But God will go before you." You know, so he was 120 years old at this point. He had led Israel through the wilderness for 40 years. So when he started out, he was 80 years old, right? So that means that he was 40 when he started, or 80 when he started. And that means he was, you know, between the time he was born and the time he came back, he was in Midian for 40 years, and he was 40 years old when he left Egypt. So how long was he steadfast and faithful? Well, probably for, you know, nigh on 80 years, maybe not to the point where God says he is faithful among all people, but by the time he got to the place where God called him, he was that man that he was faithful more than anybody else, you see? So, but he learned it in those 40 years as a shepherd, and he worked at it, and then he was 40 years in the wilderness with the children of Israel. So he was a faithful man for a long, long, long time. And he was meek for a long, long, long time and received incredible amounts of revelation from God because he was meek and willing and he listened to God. That's why God gave him that revelation. So 40 when he left, when he came back, he was 80 and 120 when he died. So when he started out, how long do you think he thought he would be in Midian? Probably for the rest of his life, you know, until he went up to look at that burning bush. But then when God called him out and he led Egypt out, how long do you think he thought it would be before they would get to the promised land? Pretty quick, because in Numbers 13, he sends the spies in, and that's in, you know, maybe 6 months, 8 months' time. So he thought it was a short-term contract. Turned out to be 40 years. until his retirement and his death. So he was a pretty faithful guy. So, you know, we stay faithful 10 years, 20 years. Think about Moses and what he did and for how long he stayed faithful to do God's word. Let's go to 1 Samuel. You know, it's a very simple thing. God gives us his word and he says, believe it, obey it, do it. Right? That's what he says. He gives us his word, and it's a very simple word. You know, you pretty much know what's right and what's wrong, right? And he says, believe him. And he says, just do it. And so we just need to do it. And how often do we need to do it? Just today. All you have to worry about is doing it today. You know, you don't have to worry about tomorrow, right? Because the evil tomorrow is going to be there. You know, the evil of the day is what it is. This is your shot to be faithful today, because we don't know when Christ is coming back, and we don't know when our life is going to end. So we only need to be faithful today. That's it. 1 Samuel 22, verse 11. This is David. Then the king, and that refers to Saul. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were at Nob, and they came, all of them, to the king. And Saul said, hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, why have you conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? Now this is at the point in time where Saul is trying to hunt down David and kill him. And at one point, David and his men went, and they went to where the priest was, and he gave them the showbread because they were starving, and he gave them a sword. And then he inquired of the Lord for them and said, you know, this is what you need to do, and this is where you need to go. And so Saul took offense to that. That's why he calls those priests there. Of course, he had a spy, and the spy was not an Israelite. He was an ungodly man. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, who is so faithful among all thy servants as David? That's what the priest says. He said, who is as faithful as your servant David? Nobody else. He's the most faithful servant you have. And yet you're hunting him down and trying to kill him. David was the most faithful guy that Saul had. Pretty amazing. You know, and that's sometimes how the devil works, isn't it? He tries to, when somebody lets the devil in, they will turn against the person that is the most faithful and loves them the most. You know, that's what the devil does. Which is, and they'll make you think that the guy that's your worst enemy is your friend. That's what the devil will do sometimes. He said, who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law? He was also Saul's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house. You know, he did everything that Saul asked him, and he was honorable. He was so honorable that when David sought to kill him, and he was hiding in the cave, and Saul came up right next to him, and he could have just slit his throat, he refused to, and he just cut the bottom of his robe. Pretty amazing. So David was a faithful man. Day by day, David was faithful. Moses was faithful day by day. And he was not always living, David was not all, and neither was Moses, they weren't always living the good life, were they? You know, Moses was out there in the wilderness with Israel and dealing with their rebelliousness and their contentions and their stiff-neckedness, whatever that means. And David was hunted by Saul, and he had enemies, and even his son rebelled against him and tried to get him. But they were faithful. David was the most faithful of all Saul's servants, all of Saul's men, which means he was the most faithful guy in the kingdom. And Moses was the most faithful of all of Israel and all men alive at the time. Let's go to Proverbs 28. So they were faithful, but they were faithful for long periods of time. And they were faithful day by day. And it's not that they didn't make mistakes. But when they made mistakes, what were they faithful to do?
Ask forgiveness
and obey and move on. In chapter 28 of Proverbs, verse 20, it says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." A faithful man shall abound with blessings. That's pretty good. You know, it may not come all at once. You may not see dramatic things happen every day. But you know what? Moses and David didn't either. Neither did Paul or Peter. You know, we see sometimes and we look in the Word and he shows you a lot of great things happen at once. But then, you know, there were times when they just lived normal lives and just went ahead and did the everyday stuff. You know, when you think about how long Israel was in the wilderness, they didn't see signs and wonders and miracles. Well, they did. They saw the manna every day, right? They saw the manna. They had the water every day. But they just sat in places for long periods of time. They didn't move unless the pillar of fire and the cloud moved. And then they moved when the cloud went up off the tabernacle. They packed it up. And they followed the cloud or the pillar of fire at night. And then when it stopped, that's where they stopped. And they could have been in places for long periods of time. Let's go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 23. It says, "O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of a good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Now that last little phrase in verse 23 bothered me because it says, "He will plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." And you know, proud, being proud, most times does not represent something positive in the Word of God. And I looked in a bunch of different translations, versions. I looked up the word proud. And it can mean excellency or being excellent in what you do. But it also can be, you know, proud. And so most of the translations, it says God will pay back those that are haughty or proud. But there was one translation, I can't remember which one it is, it says he will reward them that are excellent in what they do. So either way, God does reward those that are faithful and are excellent in what they do, that are diligent, but he does pay back those that are haughty and proud. So either way, it still agrees with the Word of God. So I just throw that out there. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. It says, and this is Paul writing to Timothy, of course. Not Tim Murphy, but Timothy who traveled with him. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And you know, if you're going to do something for God, if you're going to have responsibility in the body of Christ, which God would want everybody to take responsibility in the body of Christ, you have to be faithful. You know, and the more you're faithful, the more God will entrust you with. You know, when you read more about this, he goes, verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. You know, previous to Paul's getting converted, he was a Pharisee, right? And he persecuted the church. However, in his training as a Pharisee and in his carrying out even his persecutions, he was a faithful guy. You know, he was a committed guy. And day by day, he did his best, what he thought was his best for God. And then when Jesus Christ confronted him on the road to Damascus and he got converted, he took that same faithfulness, that same commitment, and he did it for the Lord Jesus Christ and for God, the true God, in the way that blessed God, so much so that he called him to be an apostle. You know, so he had built that faithfulness in his previous life wrongly, but he built it. And then he got born again and he was faithful in serving God and Jesus Christ. Let's look at Galatians real quick. Chapter 1. Verse 14 of chapter 1. It says, and profited, Paul speaking of himself, he says, he profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. He was sold out to being a Jew and a Pharisee, and he was, you know, doing it every day. I mean, that's what the Pharisees did, right? They counted their steps on the holy days. They did their prayers in the synagogue so everybody could see them. You know, they made sure that they gave their tithe, and they gave it with, you know, zeal and excitement, and they wanted everybody to know it. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years, for 3 years he spent time studying the word and praying and getting himself straight from the crap that he had been involved in. He spent 3 years. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. But of the other apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now I write the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed, or once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Then, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. So this whole period of time covers 17 years. 17 years he was faithful. And then it goes on, if you read in Acts, because this is what takes place in Acts 15, and it goes on to the end of the book, and he lived on beyond that. So he was faithful for many, many years. But he built that faith, that faithfulness in his life, you see. And he did it day by day. He did it day by day. And that's what Moses did. That's what David did. And that's what we're to do. Every day we just need to be faithful. All of us starts the same way in our Christian lives. We all get born again by confessing the Lord Jesus Christ and believing that God raised him from the dead. We all get the same Holy Spirit. We all have the same Father, God. He doesn't give one person any more than any other person. He doesn't favor anybody any more than anybody else. He's just God. He just sets out his word and he sets out the standards, and then as we obey and believe and rise up and live the standards that he has set before us, we see the results in our lives. And as we're faithful, and that's a big deal. It's probably the most unappreciated thing in our lives, you know, just to be faithful day in and day out. Because sometimes you think, well, if I don't pray today, or if I don't read the word today, or if I don't do this, or, you know, just living your life day by day, if you're not faithful to God and keep him in mind and in your heart and do the things that God wants you to do, that's faithfulness, see? And it's unappreciated. But when you're faithful and you build that faithfulness in your life, God rewards you. It says the faithful man is abounds in blessings. God can work in us when we're faithful. When we're not faithful, he's always busy trying to get us faithful. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We all have the same God. He's no respecter of persons. We all receive the same grace. We receive the same Spirit. We all have the same hope. We all have the same Word of God. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Verse 13, it says, "We having the same spirit of faith." Told you. "According as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not." You know, we just keep doing what God wants us to do. We keep speaking the word. We keep praying. We keep being thankful. We keep glorifying God. And we faint not. But though our outward man perish or corrupt or grow old, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. See, we're renewed day by day. Every day is a new day with God. Yesterday doesn't count. The whole former life is irrelevant to God. What counts is today. All that matters to God is what you do today. You could be the rottenest Christian that ever lived and ever walked the face of the earth, but you decide to believe today, he's going to bless you. And if you stay faithful and do that every day, he's going to bless you more. What a great God. Can't beat it. "For our light affliction," God calls our life a light affliction. We call it a heavy affliction. He calls it a light affliction. Who's right? "Which is but for a moment," you know, and that's all we're here, but for a moment, "worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, the spiritual things. And let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll close up there where we started out, because it's always good to remember why we got into this to begin with. "Wherefore," he saith, verse 14, "awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now, you're not dead, but if you're asleep, you know, wake up. "See then that ye," okay, yeah, "Christ shall give you light. See then that ye walk circumspectly," accurately, carefully, precisely, according to God's word, would be what it's talking about, right? "Not as fools, but as wise." As wise. "Redeeming the time, because the days of evil are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We're to walk circumspectly, accurately, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, and we're to be wise, knowing what the will of God is, will of the Lord is, what his will for our life is. That's what we are to do. We're to be thankful. We're to walk for God day by day, and we're renewed day by day. Every day is a new day for us, but we can do it, and the more we're faithful, the more blessings we're going to see. The more God can lay on us. If you're not faithful, then you know, it's like trustworthiness, right? When somebody is consistent, you know, whether it's good or bad, you can trust on them to be a certain way, right? You know, when you live with somebody, you live with a husband or a wife for a long period of time, and you get to know them, you can kind of know what they're going to do in certain situations. You know how they're going to react. You know, God knows us even better than we know ourselves. And as we build faithfulness, we build our trust in God and we build our reliance in Him, and He will be able to entrust us more with what He can give us and do for us. It's a great thing. Faithfulness is just the most important thing. Yeah, you want to believe God, right? Well, if you're not faithful, it gets tougher to believe God. The more faithful you are, the more consistent you are in God's word and your life with God, the better you will believe and the more He can bless you. Okay? So God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the great price He paid, and how He was faithful as Moses was faithful, and how we see the example of these men and how they worked so hard and did their best and just were amazing in how long they stood and built that faithfulness. And when they made a mistake, they didn't let it sidetrack them, but they turned back to You and were meek to receive that reproof and correction and got straightened out and just moved ahead. So we just thank You for that, God, and we thank You for what a loving and gracious God You are to us, and we thank You in the great and wonderful and faithful name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.